Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. These difficult words of truth from Jesus require us to answer some difficult questions. Do you spend your time and money seeking ways to be comfortable? Comfortable in this world, that is, which is saving your life? Or do you spend yourself doing what is right and just in God's eyes, even when it requires sacrifice? And that's what Jesus is talking about, losing your life. Only one of these paths will lead to true freedom, peace, and joy. And you can probably guess which one. Today's gospel passage picks up immediately. It's a continuation of where we were last week. Remember that glorious confession of Peter, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then the implications that flowed from it. There was such joy and wonder. Where did that come from? Well, Jesus says it came from your heavenly Father. Then he made Peter the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against it. He gives him the keys of the kingdom. It was just this glorious event that happened. Now we see the other side of the coin, the side we'd all probably rather avoid. Namely, that the only way to get to the glory of the resurrection is to go through the cross. Peter is shocked when Christ suddenly says that he must go to Jerusalem to suffer greatly at the hands of the Jewish elites, to be killed and then raised 3 days later. This is the first prediction of the Passion in Matthew's Gospel, by the way. And this isn't the kind of the Messiah that Peter and the others had in mind. So Peter actually takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. Imagine this. Refusing to even entertain this cross business as a possibility. He doesn't want Jesus to suffer because that means that he will have to suffer as well, being one of Jesus' disciples, being the chief disciple. Jesus just made him the top dog, so to speak. The response from Jesus is even more shocking. "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." Ouch, right? That's pretty rough. And he's saying this to the same guy that he just renamed. Simon, he renamed Peter. Peter is Petros, which means rock. And he made him that foundation, making him the pillar of the church, giving him such great honor and responsibility. And now look at this. Well, he's not abandoning Peter. Obviously, he wants to make a very clear point. Don't expect easy street. Being his disciple necessarily involves suffering. Now, Jesus says the same thing to us, "Get behind me, Satan," when we also choose human comforts over him. And the abortion example from last week is a good case in point. For those of you that didn't catch my homily, I had the Saturday evening mass. It's on Facebook. You can go and listen to it. You can fast forward in the video and listen to it if you'd like, because there's a lot of context I won't repeat here today. But anytime we support this terrible sin, either directly, like going and having an abortion, encouraging somebody to, working in an abortion clinic, that kind of stuff, or indirectly, just kind of turning a blind eye, we're trying to take the easy way out. There's a situation here, it's deemed a problem, this is the easy way out. So anytime we support that, that's what we're doing. Yet this issue becomes present to us all during elections, every time we have an election, especially a presidential election. Now, maybe you're totally against abortion. You don't like it at all, but you favor a particular candidate who radically promotes abortion because of the positions that he or she may have on a host of other issues that you do support. And maybe you really dislike the other candidate and or the party that this candidate represents. But as we established last week, abortion is not one issue amongst many. It's not equivalent to, say, environmental issues or immigration or the economy. Not at all. It is the most important and most significant issue, since it violates the most fundamental human right of all, the right to live, the right to breathe. And not only that, but the most fundamental human right of the most vulnerable, innocent people, and in great numbers. There's a lot more context on this last week, but you know, in the U.S., 2,300 babies a day are killed through abortion, 1 million a year, over 100 million worldwide. These are huge numbers we're talking about here. So, do you choose human comforts and turn a blind eye to abortion, becoming an obstacle to Jesus? Or do you deny yourself and follow him? We're in a tough spot. It's brutal sometimes, since the key issues are split amongst our two political parties. Neither party aligns well with Catholic teaching and practice. Both of them have major, major problems in terms of the Catholic eye. And this is why the church helps us to establish priorities. How do we make sense of this? We got to vote, so what are we supposed to do? And more so, as Catholics, we have the numbers to make a big difference. I haven't seen numbers lately, but it's about 20% of the U.S. population are baptized Catholics. And so we have the numbers if we stick together and vote by faith first. The trouble is the Catholics don't. If you look at a survey of how Catholics vote versus how the general public votes, they're a mirror image of each other. So Catholics are voting the way society is voting. That's basically the takeaway. But if we vote by faith first, then the political process will start working like it's supposed to, with the politicians representing our interests instead of them forcing their interests down our throats. And their interests, of course, are the interests of the ones that are lining their pockets, the lobbyists who are paying them in Washington, D.C. That's how it works now. They tell us this is what the Democratic platform is. This is what the Republican, and that's what you get. We don't care what the little guy thinks. This is what you got. It's totally backwards. So are you willing to take a stand and stop letting the politicians push you around? It won't happen right away. This is going to be a long process because there's a lot of money invested in having the process the way it is today. So it's going to require some sacrifice. But it will be well worth the effort. Indeed, this is exactly the type of action that Christ is pointing toward when he says, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." The shock continues for Peter and the disciples when they hear this. This comes right after, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an obstacle." This is what he says. They've been riding this wave of blessings and healings and miracles and good times. You know, hanging out with Jesus is pretty awesome. So, whoa, wait a minute. So this is a very new and tough message. An abrupt change that they weren't expecting. In today's first reading, the prophet Jeremiah has a similar experience. "You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped," he laments, referring back to his calling as a prophet when the Lord assured him to be not afraid, that he would be by his side and help him to triumph over his foes. But now, after walking this path with the Lord and enduring much suffering, Jeremiah is discouraged. He's having some second thoughts. "All the day I am an object of laughter. Everyone mocks me," he complains. "The word of the Lord has brought me derision and reproach all the day." Sounds an awful lot like a faithful Christian today, doesn't it? As a result, like Jeremiah, a great many Christians have said to themselves, "I will not mention him. I will speak in his name no more." Put God in the closet, basically, is what they're saying. And this is a major reason for the massive decline in the faith over the past 50 plus years. The world has been winning out by convincing Christians to seek comfort, this human comfort, over Christ, to think not as God does, but as human beings do. It's so easy to get sucked into this. The world's really good at tempting us, pulling us into that. We don't even realize it. Jeremiah takes a different route, though. The Lord's presence within him becomes like a fire burning in his heart, we heard, and he just can't hold it in. So he surrenders to the Lord, the sweet surrender to the Lord. He realizes on some level, probably not completely, that the Lord really does love him intensely, but that this love is meant to lift him up, so he can fight bravely against God's enemies, offering himself as a sacrifice and enduring through the sufferings. Only by offering his life for God can he find it and bring truth and life to the people, which is what he wants to do. And what do you know? St. Paul is urging us to do the very same thing in today's second reading, which is his famous first two verses from Romans chapter 12. It's all about metanoia, the total, complete change of mind and heart. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. Paul knows firsthand just how important and how amazing it is to make this kind of sacrifice, and how difficult. This spiritual worship is a total self-emptying gift to God, so that one becomes a living sacrifice, just like Christ, who emptied himself out completely for us and died, yet now is alive. He's a living sacrifice. He has a body wounded and all, but he's alive, right? He still has those wounds. But Paul also knows that it is only possible for us to even begin down this path by the mercies of God. Notice that's how he starts. Without God's mercy, we'd be dead in an instant due to our sins. And without his mercy, we could not undergo the conversion necessary for us to give ourselves more and more completely to him, dying to our sins, rising to new life in him. We can't get rid of the sins by ourselves. We can't rise to new life by ourselves. We need his help, his grace. And so we need his grace and his mercy to move down this path. So that's verse 1. We could go on and on and on. There's a lot in that first verse. Now on to verse 2, where Paul commands us, do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, metanoia, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. It is very easy and tempting for us to conform to this age and to think as humans do. But that will only lead us away from God and from what is good and pleasing and perfect and into what is not good and pleasing and perfect, namely sin and misery. Friends, this is how we're meant to live, as a sacrifice. There's that irony. Every other sacrifice throughout the history necessarily dies. That's when you make a sacrifice. You kill something, right? But we're called to be a living sacrifice. We're part of the body of Christ. He's the only living sacrifice. We're called to walk in his footsteps. It's beautiful. Only when we lose our lives for the Lord do they make any sense. Do we really begin to live and discover who we really are? Get rid of all those layers of shame and guilt and whatever, sin and whatever else we piled on. So be not afraid to follow Christ. Trust in him, not the world. This is the only way for true change. Riots and all this other kind of stuff, that's not going to create any true change. It's just going to deepen the problems that we have in this world. Only by walking with the Lord will we enact true change. And so I'm going to leave you with these wonderful words from our responsorial, Psalm 63. It's most of the responsorial. So beautiful, and the psalmist really gets what we're talking about here. So I'm going to leave you with these words, and I invite you to make them your own. O God, you are my God whom I seek. For you my flesh pines, and my soul thirsts like the earth, parched, lifeless, and without water. Thus have I gazed toward you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. For your kindness is greater than life. My lips shall glorify you. As with the riches of a banquet shall my soul be satisfied. You are my help, and in the shadow of your wings I shout for joy. My soul clings fast to you. Your right hand upholds me.